From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, ongoing hurricane recovery efforts, Democrats criticize Franklin Graham for praying, and insights from Scripture on lawlessness. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. Earlier this week, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins was joined by Franklin Graham, president of Samaritan's Purse, to discuss that organization's efforts to touch people with God's love and provision who were impacted by Hurricane Laura. Here's Tony Perkins.
Franklin, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, Franklin, I was just talking a little bit about the relief efforts in Texas and Louisiana and how, you know, quickly the media moves on, almost as fast as the winds blow through, but there's still a lot of work down there. Give us an update on what Samaritan's Purse is doing.
Thank you, Tom. We're working in Lake Charles, DeRidder, Jennings, and DeQuincy, and we've got right now a little over 600 requests for help. And we'll be taking volunteers. I think so far we've had about 100 volunteers. Of course, those numbers we hope will go up every week. And then, Tony, we've got chaplains with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association that are working alongside our volunteers, ministering to the families. As we help clean up the property, we've got chaplains praying with family members and sharing Christ with them. This, of course, you know, is a Category 4 hurricane. 19 people were killed. 900,000 people were left without power. It just did so much devastation. And like you said, the media has left. But we're going to be there, Tony, for some time. And we're going. And everything we do it in the name of Jesus.
And I know that. And I know the work that you do because I've worked alongside your people, and they do great work in the name of the Lord. And it's exciting to see the spiritual ministry that goes on. But, folks, I want to tell you, not only do we have no power in some of these areas, they still don't have water that they can drink. And so relief efforts are needed. And folks can volunteer right now by going to your website, can they not?
Absolutely. You go to SamaritansPurse.org, and you'll find where we're working and how to volunteer and give. That is a number one need right now, Tony, is just having people who are willing to come and work for a day or come for a weekend or a week, whatever the case may be. But by helping a homeowner, it gives us an opportunity to share Christ with that homeowner. And we see in every deployment like this, we see people get saved, people find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's the most important thing that we can do for anybody, is to introduce them to Jesus Christ.
And for the volunteers that come, there's a camaraderie that develops when you spend a week with people working. Let me just say, folks, if you volunteer, you cannot volunteer with a better organization. You won't waste any time. You're not going to be sitting around twiddling your thumbs. Very well organized, very well executed. And there's other ministries out there as well, but I just know Samaritan's Purse firsthand for working alongside them. Franklin, I want to transition for a moment. I'm going to encourage people to go to the website, volunteer, give to this effort and other efforts that are going on. You're all over the world ministering in the name of Jesus. But when you look at these storms and the frequency and the intensity, and then you look at the confluence of the other issues, the pandemic, you look at the economic downturn, you look at the division in our nation, we're at a very critical moment in the history of this country, are we not?
No question, Tony. And I think the most important thing as we come to this election, we need to pray. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders. There is no hope for this nation outside of God. We have taken God out of our schools. We've taken him out of government. And look what we have to show. If you look at Portland and Seattle, these cities that have gone so secular and so far to the left, they're falling apart. And so this is going to happen to our country if we don't pray. I'm asking Christians to join me on the 26th of September in Washington for a prayer march. There's not going to be any speakers. There's not going to be any music. We're going to pray. We're going to start at the Lincoln Memorial. We're going to go all the way down to the Capitol, praying as we go. Some people will maybe walk faster. Some may go slower. It doesn't matter. Let's just fill the mall in Washington with people of prayer. And that's on the 26th. It's a Saturday. And we're starting at noon. And it'll take about 2 hours. But I ask people as they leave the city or as they come into the city, go down different streets. Pray for the people that work in those buildings in our Capitol. And let's just pray that God, that our leaders would turn back to God. And that's the only hope for this nation is God. And so I believe this may be the most critical time in our history. And we're just going to have a prayer march. All of us participate. All of us pray. We're all working together to take our petitions before the throne of God.
Franklin, hold on. I want to ask you a couple more questions. We're up against a break, if you'll just stay right there. And folks, I want to encourage you to participate in that prayer march on September the 26th. I'll be there. I'll be participating in it. I think when you look at what is happening in our nation, you look at the fact that we're going into an election, probably the most important election in the history of this country. We can't figure this one out. This needs the hand of God to direct our nation. And we are at a very, very critical moment. So I encourage you to be praying even now about coming and being a part of that effort, but continue to pray, then commit to vote and to stand for biblical truth. So take the challenge. Go to TonyPerkins.com and take the challenge to pray, vote, stand. All right, stay with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Franklin on the other side of the break.
Do Christians have a biblical obligation to participate in government? Do Christians have a duty to vote? And if so, what principles should inform them while casting their ballots? How should pastors think about politics? And how can they shepherd their congregations well during an election season? Family Research Council's new second edition of Biblical Principles for Political Engagement provides biblical wisdom and clear answers to these questions to help you navigate the political landscape this election year. To access this important resource, visit frc.org/engage.
I'm Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. My guest is Franklin Graham, president of Samaritan's Purse. We were talking about the relief efforts from Hurricane Laura and also the prayer march in Washington, D.C. on September the 26th at noon. It's a Saturday at noon. You can find out more. Go to TonyPerkins.com or Samaritan'sPurse.org. Franklin, I never thought we would get to a point where prayer is controversial. You prayed at the RNC last week, and as a result, there's a group called Faithful America. They're a group that was funded by George Soros, calling for you to step down from Samaritan's Purse because you prayed at the Republican convention.
Well, that's true, Tony, and I would have prayed at the Democratic National Convention if they invited me. I think prayer is important, especially to pray for our leaders. And it's interesting, there were various other clergy that did pray. Many of them would be what we would consider very liberal in their theological views. They prayed at the DNC, but this group did not call for them to step down or to resign their positions because they prayed. They were just, I guess, focusing on me. I don't know why. And I did not come out in my prayer supporting the president or Joe Biden. I just asked that we pray and ask God's blessing on them and protection and for all of our leaders. So anyhow, I think the board is probably not going to It's probably not going to give in to their demands.
Believe me, I wasn't concerned about that. I do think it's a commentary on where we are as a nation. Because in 1988, I've got a short clip I want to play of your father, who prayed at the Democratic Convention. In fact, I think that year he prayed at both, Republican and Democrat. But this is a clip of him praying at the 1988 Democratic Convention. Play clip one, please.
Our Father and our God, we pause in the middle of this great political convention to acknowledge our dependence upon you and to seek your wisdom and direction in all that is done during these days. We thank you for what you have given us as a nation and as a people. We thank you for all the ideals that made America great. We thank you for our spiritual roots. We recall with gratitude the words from the Bible which are inscribed on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and all the inhabitants thereof. We also thank you for our political system and for this convention, which illustrates the process of democracy at work.
Franklin, if your father were alive today, do you think that he would be invited to the Democratic Convention to pray, as he did in 1988?
No, yeah, he wouldn't have been invited. But again, if he had been invited, he certainly would go. He would have done that.
And I would, too. And I commend you for saying that. And I would challenge the Democratic Convention or Democratic leaders to have prayer. What's interesting, and you look at the debate that has taken place within the Democratic Party just about the recognition of God. In fact, you don't even find God in their platform except as a descriptor, a God-given potential. So I do think that the lines, and George Barna puts it this way, that this election isn't about party, it's not about politics, it's really about a worldview. Whether we have a creator to whom we're accountable, or we are God ourselves.
And Tony, I think it's that plus there is a push to take our country into socialism, which is the precursor to communism. And they want to control the church. And if you look at Eastern Europe, look at the Soviet Union, where churches were closed, pastors were told what to say or not to say. And if they did not follow that line, they were put in prison. And I'm not saying that's coming tomorrow, but I think this is the direction our country is heading. And it's very frightening when you see people, churches today, are, because of COVID-19, are told, they can't meet, they can't worship, and that's they have every right in the Constitution to do that. But our liberties and our constitutional rights are being thrown out the window on this whole notion of COVID-19. I think people can be smart, be careful, but the politicians have no right to tell people of faith how and when to worship.
Well, the alarm bell should be ringing. And Christians should be responding. It begins with prayer, but it doesn't stop there. We need to vote. We need to vote biblical values, and we need to stand up for biblical truth, no matter what the culture may say.
Absolutely.
Franklin, I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for the work of Samaritan's Purse, for just the tremendous work you do in helping people that are hurting. And I look forward to seeing you in Washington, D.C. on September the 26th.
Thank you, Don. Look forward to seeing you as well. God bless.
All right. Franklin Graham with Samaritan's Purse. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. And while you're there, take the challenge to pray, vote, stand. Folks, I mean, everybody I'm talking to is saying America is at a critical juncture. I mean, if you listen to this program, you know I'm not one given to hyperbole, and I'm not one of those guys with hair on fire. But I'm telling you, America is at a critical point, and this is not the time to be a spectator. You've got to do your part. All right, when we come back, Al Mohler joins us. We'll take a biblical look at the lawlessness that is popping up around the country. Don't go away.
News stories about the assaults in Nigeria are rarely reported by the media. But in recent years, persecution of Christians in Nigeria has persistently increased. A July 15, 2020 headline reports that over 1,000 Nigerian Christians were killed in the first 6 months of 2020. This is in addition to 11,000 Christians who have been killed since June 2015. For more info, read FRC's latest publication, The Crisis of Christian Persecution in Nigeria, at frc.org/Nigeria.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, in case you forgot it, TonyPerkins.com. All right, now, this next item we're going to talk about, some of you might think I'm reading a Babylon Bee story, but I'm not. The mayor of D.C., Mayor Bowser, has released a report this week calling for at least 135 figures from history, including presidents, including the first president, President Washington, essentially be canceled. Their names would be removed from parks, schools, statues, streets, and other public properties, or there would be plaques put on place to kind of explain why they're still standing. Now, in part, the report, this commission that was put in place by the mayor, says that they, quote, discriminated against marginalized groups in a way that would violate D.C. law, end quote. Joining me now to talk about this and how we look at the lawlessness that is popping up around the country from a biblical perspective is Dr. Al Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Mohler, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always great to be with you. I appreciate your work. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you. I know you've taken a look at this because I saw your podcast. And, folks, he has a daily podcast that you can subscribe to. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. We've got a link up there for you. The mayor of D.C., I mean, as I said, this could be a Babylon Bee story. I mean, Washington, D.C., nation's capital, talking about removing the founders of this country, including Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, it's an astounding thing. It is as if a satirist wrote it. You're exactly right. But this isn't the Babylon Bee. This is Washington, D.C., And it was a group known as D.C. Faces, which was an official group that answered to the mayor, and they presented a proposal. By the way, they studied this giant issue of history-making proportions for an entire 6 weeks. That tells you what's going on right now in this cultural revolution. After 6 weeks of considering the weightiest issues facing humanity, they decided to propose, amongst other things, that the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial should be removed, relocated, or contextualized. It's insanity. It's an effort to try not only to rewrite history, but now to act as if history didn't happen.
And so many people, this is happening so quickly, as you said, 6 weeks to study this. This is being unveiled. People are in shock. We've got riots in D.C. I mean, you have people that are at restaurants, and if they don't salute Black Lives Matter, they're hounded. And so people have shrunk back in silence, but we're literally seeing the country pulled out from underneath of the American people, the majority of the people, right before our very eyes.
No, that's absolutely right. Because, you know, when you're talking about Jefferson and Washington in particular, just to take those two, were both of them slaveholders? Yes. Do we need to reckon with that? Honestly, yes. Does history need to deal with that straightforwardly? Of course. But can you even tell the American story without Washington and Jefferson? No. And it's not just telling the American story. It's not just history. It's that those two together, who didn't agree on everything, but they basically are two bookends of defining the entire American experiment in constitutional self-government. And the point I wanted to make this morning on my program was, this isn't a call to reformation. It's a call to utter total revolution.
It is. But let me ask you this, Dr. Mohler. If we only did statues of people who made no mistakes, how many statues would we have?
Well, according to Scripture, no, not one.
Exactly.
There wouldn't be any. And, you know, the Bible itself, I appreciate you pointing to the Bible, because the Bible is so honest. Just think about King David. You know, King David's horrifying sin is displayed, as is true of Israel, as is true of, for that matter, you know, going all the way back to the fall. I mean, look at Abraham, but also fast forward to the book of Hebrews. you know, David, it's true, was a horrible sinner, guilty basically of arranging murder and also of adultery. But the Messiah himself reigns forever on David's throne, Christ the Lord. And in the book of Hebrews, we have this line of patriarchs and matriarchs who were honored for their faith, and every one of them was a sinner.
And the reason that the Bible is very clear about all of that, showing the warts and the flaws, is that the story of history is the story of redemption. God had to step in and provide a way of redemption. And so the story of America is the story of redemption. It is the fact that we didn't have it right at the beginning. We don't have it right today. And you know what? We're never going to be perfect, but we've been improving along the way. And that's the story of mankind that will be lost when we disregard and rewrite history.
That's right. And it's the reversal of rational, reasonable self-government. This rare experiment in constitutional self-government that is the United States. Martin Luther King Jr. actually had it right. And he and others talked about cashing the check that was the Declaration of Independence. That is exactly the right logic. And so they were pointing back to when Jefferson, as the primary author, said that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Martin Luther King showed up and said, I want to cash that check. Muriel Bowser showing up and saying, I want to take down the monument, move the memorial. I will tell you, I was asked by a reporter this morning about it, and I said, I just want to buy a front row seat to the relocation of Mount Rushmore.
Well, they'll try. Dr. Al Mohler, my guest, president of Southern Theological Seminary. Dr. Mohler, let me transition for just a moment to a similar topic, but the lawlessness that is breaking out around the country. I mean, we see it in Portland, Seattle, in Washington, D.C. How do we look at this from a biblical perspective? I mean, you know, of course, the humanist worldview is that man is improving. You know, evolution is bringing man to a higher state of being, which we know is not true. But the scripture speaks to this, so we shouldn't really be surprised by what we see happening.
No, absolutely. You know, I think immediately of a passage like Judges chapter 21, where we read that in rebellion in Israel, everyone did what was right in his own sight. The Bible holds up order as good and disorder as bad. After all, the book of Genesis is about order being brought out of chaos, where God acts, there is order. And the Bible holds up a polarity between anarchy and order and says order is always better for humanity than anarchy, where everyone does what is right in his own sight. And that just leads to destruction. And then you have in the New Testament, in 2 Thessalonians, you have the spirit of lawlessness, even a man of lawlessness. And Paul says, you know, right now the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and that's what we see in efforts to try to upend an order in society.
And Jesus even warns about this in Matthew chapter 24, where he talks about because of lawlessness, and it's growing, it's abounding, that the love of many will grow cold. So there's this warning that, you know, this is coming. We need to be prepared for it and not allow it to drive a wedge between us in living out our faith as disciples in Jesus Christ.
That's so true. You know, the word lawlessness always appears in the Bible as a great dread and horrifyingly awful God-opposed thing. And there's wrongful order. The Bible's clear about that, too. It talks about the Babylonians and the Assyrians and Pharaoh, for that matter. And he will judge all rulers and all order. But the worst thing of all is lawlessness, in which sinful humanity just turns on itself.
And that is why God actually created civil government. He ordained civil government for that purpose.
So right. That's why he gave us government as a gift. You know, right now on the streets of America, there are a lot of people acting as if government, the very existence of any government, is the problem. They're establishing autonomous zones, and many of them are saying, you know, down with hierarchy, we don't need any leaders. Well, the Bible just tells us, oh, yes, you do. And by the way, someone's going to decide to speak for you on MSNBC. So guess what? You got leaders.
Yeah, and we need to be praying for, working for, and being a part of establishing that government that will uphold order and law, because I mean, we can't function without it. I mean, I do think that we are at a point of potentially slipping into anarchy when you have citizens that are patrolling the streets, which, quite frankly, I'm not sure they should be.
Right.
I'm all American, patriot, served in the Marine Corps, been a police officer. But when the citizens are having to protect their property and march in the streets with guns, we've got a big problem.
We do, and it's a problem that has been aided and abetted by the political left in this country for years, going back, just think, especially to the 1960s. And but right now, this is a revolution that's consuming its own. And so, you know, it's a new argument just about every day. And but it all comes down, as you say, to the fact that we understand that this order, this society, is in need of improvement. We understand that. We believe in justice and equity and righteousness, rightly and biblically defined. But we understand those human goods only come about because God's given us the gift of order in which those things can happen. You know, right now you're having the destruction of property. It takes a long time to build wealth. It takes an instant to destroy it.
Well, Dr. Mohler, before we run out of time, what is your message to the church, to believers, to those who follow Jesus Christ, believe the word of God? What should we be doing right now?
Well, I think we may be the last sane people on earth who can say, from a biblical worldview, we understand why God gave us government, why we need laws, and yes, we need righteous and just laws. We're at the front line to demand that, but it's through a lawful process. It's through the making of laws and the passage of laws. It's through the legislative and the political process. It's through acting as informed citizens. And what we see right now is a demand not for reformation and continual national improvement, but for tearing the entire experiment down and starting over from anarchy.
Now is not the time to be silent or to stand in the shadows. Dr. Al Mohler, thanks so much for joining us today. As always, greatly appreciate your insights.
Likewise, great to be with you, Tony. God bless you.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.